Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Caitlin? No, she's not going to talk.
Strong, silent type.
Yeah, just.
And I'm Shira. I'm joining you guys for this episode.
We were going to introduce you, but you can take the reins if you'd like.
Shira's our replacement, Caitlin, today.
Yeah, sorry. Bye, Caitlin.
Yeah.
You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, enjoy sitting there in silence.
She had such an opportunity.
Yeah. I threw to you. You said Pretty Scary Boo, and then Caitlin could have talked, and now, nope, you missed out.
Can you give me a pretty scary boo, Shira?
I'll do my best. Boo!
Nope, no.
I guess that's not it.
Yeah, that wasn't it at all.
It's fine.
All right.
We'll get Caitlin back someday. Carrie,
yes.
Introduce our guest.
So this is Shira Weiss, and she is one of my friends from New York. She is a writer who does a lot of... Shira's got the scoop. You can follow her, I guess, on Facebook, and I'm going to let you, I guess, yourself. When I met Shira, it was years ago. Her sister was a fan of White Wine True Crime. She had reached out to Caitlin and I, said, could I do an interview with you guys for the Huffington Post? And her and I stayed in touch, and she still writes a lot, and she does. You've done a little bit of true crime. A lot of yours is like reality TV, etc.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, reality TV can sometimes be scarier than true crime and really, like, freaks me out. So I actually find true crime to be a safer subject to write about. Less people yell at me. More people are interested. And for the Huffington Post, yes, I wrote a lot about true crime. I delved into several cases. I wrote about Maura Murray's disappearance. You know, I'm fascinated by a lot of these, a lot of true crime cases and cold cases. So I'm still following up on a lot of those from my new venture, Shira's Got the Scoop.
So one of the cases that we were talking about offline was a Casey Kasem death, and they had just had it on 48 Hours. And so I had noticed you put something on Facebook about how you wrote an article for it. And I know Juicy Scoop also just did an episode where I believe Heather McDonald interviewed Gene Kasem. And I thought the case
was... No, she interviewed Julie Kasem, which is
the daughter.
Oh.
Gene Kasem was the eccentric, we'll say, for now, the eccentric woman who married Casey Kasem, his second wife. So she interviewed Julie Kasem. And it was very interesting to watch the 48 hours and get one perspective and then get the complete opposite perspective from the daughter on Heather's podcast.
I didn't know there was any weirdness around the death of Casey Kasem until I was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was working one day a few weeks ago when we first talked about doing this episode, and I had the TV on in the background, and that 48 Hours episode came up, and that was literally the first I had heard of any of this.
I had heard
Yeah.
about it before, but I didn't know much about it. Why they're doing it now, I'm not 100% sure. But it was interesting, even just trying to research some of the notes. And so Casey Kasem, and we'll again, we've got notes where I kind of document some of this. He was married to the children's mother for, I believe, 7 years. He was married to Jean for 30 years. So it's like, was she always crazy and he was into that? Or did she get crazier as she got older? I'm not really sure. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading through the notes. If you have anything to like throw in, just jump in.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I will say is that, he did remarry. I mean, Jean is the one he remarried. There were some indications, like early on, as documented by the daughters, that she was odd. She was an odd stepmother. She would make a big deal about the child support the ex-wife was getting, and she did some strange things where she would like complain that the kids dragged in mud on their shoes. Some these are things that I found out when I listened to Heather's, podcast and the interview with Julie. So there were some odd things. There were some tip-offs that she was just an
I don't think
oddball
muddy
step.
shoes is weird.
You don't think what is
No,
weird?
where
muddy shoes, like to be upset about muddy shoes.
No, she made a big deal and called the mother and said like your kids, parent. Okay, fine. You're not a mom. Maybe I would just not make a
How
big deal. No, I
dare
don't mean in a
you?
mean way. No, I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean like if someone called me to say your kids, like someone if someone who was married to my ex-husband called me to say your kids came in and they had mud on their shoes and like was carrying on, I would be like, fuck you.
Yeah,
I think
I
that.
agree with that.
So she was just like a. What I mean is like she was just like an oddball, and she did some really strange things over the years, and didn't invite people to birthday parties. So there were some tip-offs, and those are the things that we didn't hear on the 48 Hours episode. We really heard a lot of Jean's side.
It is interesting too to think, and I do believe obviously Casey loved his children. He seemed like a nice guy. He did a lot of charity work. But if your wife's kind of alienating you from your children, are you in the middle? Or, right?
Yeah.
Like, does that not seem weird? Like, why wouldn't you take your children's side?
Yeah. Are you
As a
in?
child of divorce, I mean, I definitely feel like I've dealt with something similar where I feel like, okay, like you've got to decide, is it her or is it me? And he would
Yeah.
always choose her. And I was like, well, that sucks.
And I don't know anything about his kids, but I know that the dynamic changes when your kids, when you're all adults, it's a little different.
Right.
'Cause your kids might grow up into legitimate pieces of shit.
True. Right.
And you being separated from them might not be the worst thing. Sometimes people are vampires, but I don't really know. I don't know enough about this to know what his
Their
kids were
kids are all
like.
fine. They're all productive and they all have
Oh, well
jobs.
then
Like,
fuck her.
yeah, kind of.
Yeah, if it's
Yeah.
if it's just a normal relationship and she's getting in the middle of it, that's trash.
Pure
Well, the
trash.
48 hours seemed to be very much like telling her side of the story and saying, like, the kids moved Casey around so much from facility. Like, that's how they presented it. And I was getting angry with the kids when I watched the 48 hour thing because it sounded like, because they were fighting with Gene so much, they jeopardized Casey's health and he was moved around too much and that expedited his death and his, decline in health. So when I watched it, the way it was presented on the 48 hours, I was mad at the kids. But then when I heard Julie's interview and about how manipulative and crazy Gene was, and apparently Gene, I don't want to throw out these allegations, but Julie said Gene was like, already like having an affair with someone while Casey was dying. Gene doesn't sound like a prize, and it sounds like Gene, what made a lot of like decisions about where he was going to go, and she had the power of attorney basically, but the kids at one point wanted the power of attorney signed over to them, and it was just a tug. Like I feel like they're both to blame to some extent because there was so much tug of war and he went from facility to facility and back and forth, and it could not have been good for his declining health. But
Yeah.
she's more of the oddball to me. And the first indication was those weird glasses she wore in 48 Hours, I have to say.
Well, there's a lot of weird things that happen in 48 Hours. And most documentaries or whatever you watch is going to tend to be slighted towards one side or the other. So I'm just going to kind of go through some of the background of both Gene and then Casey. Does that work for you, Adam?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. So I'm starting with Gene. So Gene Kasem, for those who don't know, was known for playing the recurring role of Loretta Tortelli, the dim-witted wife of Nick Tortelli on Cheers. And as a cast member of the short-lived spinoff of the Tortellis.
Yeah, I had to Google that. Yeah. I did not remember this character from Cheers.
Really?
I do.
Yeah. When you saw her picture, did you remember?
Yeah. Once I saw the picture, I remembered.
I totally remember that ditzy character. And now that you know what? It's funny. I blocked that part out of my head. But now that you mention, oh, my God, yes. She does have that personality. Like on the 48-hour podcast, she was just wearing these odd glasses. And I'm like, something's off.
Well, talking about something off. So as a little tidbit that, and a lot of my notes came from either Wikipedia or People. But it said that she owned 12 patents. What do you think those patents are for, Adam?
Tortelli's tortellini. It's stuffed with your husband's fortune.
Yep. Close.
No.
She holds 12 patents, all pertaining to crib and canopy design, developed for her crib business, Little Miss Liberty Round Crib Company.
Do cribs and Liberty?
That makes sense.
Do cribs and Liberty go together? Isn't a crib meant to contain you?
Well, you'll find. Well. Okay. There's lots of foreshadowing here, but you also find out
she named her daughter Liberty.
Yeah, her daughter's name is Liberty.
Oh, okay.
And again, I don't know
why. I still don't like it as a business name.
And I feel like
too personal.
Because his children's names are so very basic. That Liberty, obviously, she picked along with those poor choice of glasses. So Gene Kasem was born Gene Thompson in 1955.
I'm stuck on the glasses.
And is of Norwegian descent. That will come in handy later. That is called Foreshadowing Adam.
Never heard of it.
It is like I am dropping a hint about something that will come out in the future.
I still don't understand.
Okay, you're going to. She lived in New Hampshire, which is a state that I personally keep forgetting about, until her father moved the family to Guam, where she attended college at 16. So I don't know if they just speedy through or you just get like grades taken out. 16 is pretty early for college.
16 is pretty early, but grade school and high school might work different. Like elementary school, especially in a lot of countries, works different. You don't have to go as many years.
There is a guy that I work with that can barely function. He's from a different country. And he has like three.
I like where this tangent's going. keep on.
And he has like three doctorates over there. And yet, like when I talk to him about anything, it's something's wrong with him. And it's just even like basic things he can barely comprehend or figure out. And I don't want to say he has a disability, possibly. But again, I just think like, wow, this guy got three doctorates in his country. Anywho, by 17, she was married to a U.S. Navy lieutenant and worked as a waitress and salesperson throughout the South Pacific to whatever port her husband was stationed in. Marriage lasted 6 years, which is funny that I say only as I am always single. And then she moved back to the States to try her hand in broadcast journalism. When that didn't pan out, she enrolled in an acting workshop. And at that point, she got into acting and crossed paths and got Kasem'd.
Kasem'd?
Mm-hmm, it's a verb. Casey Kasem stats. He was born April 27th, 1932 in D-Town. Do you know what D-Town, Michigan is?
Is that Detroit?
Dicktown. As Joe Smith. JK, Detroit. JK. His name was Kamal Amin Kasem. He was obviously buried in Oslo, Norway. I'm supposed to look meaningfully at you.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Why was he buried in
Norway?
Oslo?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the parallel. So
I know.
In the 48 hour that Shira and I keep bringing up, it alludes to no one really knows. And even when they interview her, Jean, the wife, she's like, well, I have my reasons. Well, she's of Norwegian descent.
Oh,
I didn't know that. But I knew that she wanted to get away from the kids. Like, she just didn't want the kids to have any control. So first she said that, like, that Casey wanted to be buried in Jerusalem. My holy land. I'm a Jewish person. I don't understand the whole thing, but apparently that was her claim. And the kids were like, this is the first we've heard of it. And then after saying that he was going to be buried in Jerusalem, she went to Oslo, Norway. So she was just trying to get away from the kids.
But you could have went anywhere.
Control.
Like his body, once it was dead, took like a crazy world tour. Like he had more stamps in his passport dead than I do alive. But yeah. they, I think and they ended up in clearly... Norway because she's Norwegian. So
okay, I thought it was just clearly to just have complete control.
It's both.
And yeah, and they
it's
they
both, and there could be something with Norway, and maybe at that point, if it's there, like they can't get him back to the States. I'm not really sure how that works.
Yeah.
Once you bury a body.
Yeah.
It is sad because it's like, here's this legend that everybody knew in the
right.
U.S. And typically they'll have this big fanfare and this big service and this big funeral to be televised. And here he is all alone in Norway. And they even showed at the end of, you know, it was only Jean and her daughter that knows where he's even buried at that can visit him. It just seemed like a really sad and lonely end, even though I'm assuming he isn't aware of it. But
yeah. Like, at that point, no matter how bad the kids are, that's a little petty.
It's
yeah.
very petty.
And to be so petty right. after he's dead. I mean, like, let him, let his burial be where people can visit, anyone can visit him.
Right.
I mean, I guess they don't want to, they probably just don't want awkward run-ins at the burial site.
Is Casey Kasem, bury
yeah.
him on the Hollywood Walk of Fame or something.
He is America's sweetheart. He
yeah.
is American Pie, which, okay, so going back, so he's... Not, I don't want to say American, but
no, he was
his
born
parents
in,
aren't.
No, he
yeah,
is,
he is, but his parents
America.
Aren't. But his parents didn't allow their children to speak Arabic and insisted they assimilate into American lifestyle, which is very interesting because most people from third world countries, etc., or from outside countries, even though they moved to America for like the American dream, I think a lot of them are like, no, we're still going to be very traditional,
right. Well, he was definitely very American. I mean, you know, he had an American accent. I think he was just like, he was born and raised here. His kid said something about he's an American. Like it just made no sense, the burial site. And, you know, I'm, you know, we know his voice from the many years that he did the top 20, top 40 countdown.
So he did the American top 40 from 1970 until his retirement in 2009, 39 years. Also, he
wow.
voiced Shaggy.
Right,
right.
Scooby-Doo.
The guy who sang "It Wasn't Me" in Boombastic.
Yes, Mr. Fantastic.
Actually,
it wasn't me.
Shaggy.
We did it.
I love
the
that song, by the way.
She caught me in the bathroom.
People don't know that was Casey Kasem.
We were
amazing.
On the tile.
That is one of the best songs, and I'm really ashamed to say, like, just knowing who I am, like, that is like one of my favorite songs.
It doesn't
but anyway,
exactly
on.
Say how they met, but she did voice a character in Scooby-Doo. So I don't know if
she
that's
did?
How they met.
Jean Kasem?
Mm-hmm.
Was it like a one-off thing or was it?
It might have been a one-off.
Oh, okay.
It was one of her acting credits
that.
Where they
okay,
said
well,
she
they
did
met
voiceover work.
She was a secretary at studios. I don't know if it was MGM studio. I'm not sure where it was, but she was a secretary and he was like, oh, I think this is before she was on Cheers or whatever show she was. Yeah, she was on Cheers, right? So he saw her and it was one of those like, she looked like Marilyn Monroe, I guess, to him.
Yeah.
And he asked her out. And that's how they met initially.
I wish sometimes that I had the confidence of a tiny 5'6" man from another country.
Or Casey Kasem.
A.K.A. Casey Kasem. In the 40s, the make-believe ballroom, which I have never heard of, reportedly inspired Kasem to follow a career in radio and later host a national radio hits countdown show. At 52, Kasem was drafted into the U.S. Army and was sent to Korea. I kind of feel like this next sentence is bullshit. There, he worked as a DJ announcer on the Armed Forces Radio Korea Network.
Oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah,
I mean,
why don't you believe that?
No, I'm not saying it. I'm saying it's bullshit. Like, when you hear he's drafted,
oh,
it's like, oh, he was on the front lines. But no, he's just a DJ.
They need entertainment. Like, troops need entertainment like
that's
anyone
some
else.
Good Morning Vietnam shit.
Yeah. That movie got nominated for an Oscar. Didn't it win? Good Morning Vietnam? I don't know.
Probably.
That's
it did.
Yeah. I think it won.
Probably.
So take it back, Carrie.
Nope.
Support the troops.
I do support the troops.
It makes as much sense as my dad being a DJ for the NYU radio station when he was in college. I mean, it to me, it resonates.
Well, it sounds like, weird to say he was drafted into the war.
Did your dad
then,
go
by
on
the
a,
way, he was a DJ.
On a DJ scholarship? That
yeah,
would be amazing.
he was on a full scholarship to NYU.
This kid's good at playing records. We got to get him to this school.
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow he got very into like the DJ stuff when he was there.
So Kasem was a devout vegan, supported animal rights and environmental causes, and was a critic of factory farming. He initially quit voicing Shaggy in the late 90s when asked to voice Shaggy in a Burger King commercial. But he returned in 2002 after negotiating to have Shaggy become a vegetarian.
Okay.
No wonder he was so skinny.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. They can't eat anything.
That's some Morrissey shit right there.
Shaggy was a little emo, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
a lot emo.
Morrissey is like a militant. He's a Shiite vegetarian.
What does that mean?
He's very, very strict about it. Like, militantly strict about vegetarianism. Morrissey is. Never mind. It was just a joke. It was just a riff, Carrie. We can carry on. We can carry on.
I feel like if Caitlin was here and not being silent, she would have picked up on that.
Possibly.
That's where I fail and she shines. Kasem was
I feel very jealous because I know that she fills a void that I you know, I just don't know all the inside jokes, but you know, I'm learning.
You're a quick study.
You're doing great.
You're doing great.
Okay.
That would be something Caitlin would say. God, See? It's almost like she's here.
Right, exactly.
Kasem was active in politics for years, supporting Lebanese American and Arab American causes. He campaigned against the Gulf War, advocating non-military means of pressuring Saddam Hussein into withdrawing from Kuwait. Again, so he did all of this charity work, and he was a vegan.
Right.
But you hate your kids, right? Like you're
yeah.
You're picking the pussy
weird. That,
over
it's
the kids.
It's a strange time to be a vegan also. I feel like he was a vegan ahead of his time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the front lines of that, like him and Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney's been on that for a long time.
The difference is?
Paul McCartney's not dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
See, we don't need Caitlin. Caitlin who? His illness and death. In October 2013, Carrie Kasem, no relation, said her father was suffering from Parkinson's disease, which a doctor had diagnosed in 2007. A few months later, she said he was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia.
Lewy body dementia.
I actually think
which I think is like a cousin. It's like a first cousin of Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, they say it's difficult to differentiate, so I don't know what the difference is, but it left him unable to speak for his final month, which is sad.
Yeah.
Like, what do you just
Well, apparently
write
he
notes?
Was recording. It was really sad because he was recording and he was like really pushing himself and he was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't talk. That's what Julie said in the interview. And they were like, Dad, you know, like you just have to stop. Like you can't push yourself anymore. And so it was a degenerative
right.
thing. And he just was realizing like, this is my livelihood. This is the thing I want to do until I die. But he had to stop because he just couldn't speak anymore.
That's so sad because he lived a good life.
He
lived to be a decent age, but he clearly loved that job.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
That's like the best fucking job you could possibly have. And like, I could picture him being like, man, I'm going to do this till I'm like 90 and just like having it. You just wear out.
Did he ever do the New Year's Eve ball, the drop?
I don't think so. See, that's who I'm thinking. Like, I'm
he
thinking
should
like.
Have if
I
he
think
didn't.
He did. By the way, I think he did. I feel like I remember something. I've been around longer than you both have, so I feel like I remember something.
By 2 years.
By 2 years.
Correct.
He did it 2 years. 75.
Before our time.
Yeah, I mean, 70. A lot happened. I'm sorry. Between 74 and whenever you guys were born.
In the younger
there
generation.
There was a presidential assassination attempt.
My mother was
happened.
Watching the Watergate hearings as she was in labor with me.
Huh. Well, that's the thing. It's a choice, if you will.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
What
to
would
think
you have been watching?
That our younger generation is going to look at Ryan Seacrest the way we do about Casey Kasem.
Yeah, I don't think so. Why,
you don't
why
think?
Did
I just feel like they look at him as like a beloved straight arrow DJ that
have
like
ever,
they've heard
have
forever.
Have you ever listened to Ryan Seacrest on his radio show?
He's Ryan's Roses? Fuck yes, I have.
He's a fucking sleazeball.
What? He's not known for being a sleazeball.
Ryan Seacrest?
Yes.
He is. No.
He dated Julianne Hough from
Harry,
Dancing with the Stars.
You missed the whole chapter where he was accused of, he was like, he had a whole
not
meet
my Ryan.
Thing.
Not my Ryan.
I was.
Sorry, we have a bad connection. We have to let you go. We'll talk another time.
When I lived in Burbank at one point and was commuting to Cracked, I remember I was in an Uber once and the Uber driver was listening to a radio show and the host was being really, really creepy with this like 19-year-old pop star who was on. And not like a huge name pop star, just like
Ariana Grande.
A pop singer. No, like way sub Ariana Grande.
Okay.
And I was like, who is this fucking sleazy bastard? And then they cut to commercial, and he's like, Ryan Seacrest, we'll be right back.
You know what, though? I feel like he's socially awkward, and he was probably trying to be cute and flirty, but it came off creepy. I think he doesn't have a lot of social skills.
I think you're really romanticizing Ryan Seacrest.
He was
right
a
now.
Fat kid growing yeah. up, and fat kids growing up have problems when they become an attractive adult. They can't acclimate into the wild like
right
other
now.
People.
Yeah.
Be this, quiet, Shira.
Yeah, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
I'm with
there's
Shira.
Some clear bias. I don't know. And I feel like
she is my Aphrodite Jones.
Hey, how about next episode? Caitlin, Shira, me.
I've been replaced.
Did you now? First of all, Casey Kasem had a very clean, good reputation,
yeah.
all American. Right. And there was that whole, I don't want to get into this too deeply, but there was that whole thing where Ryan Seacrest was accused by his assistant of sexual harassment. I don't know.
Well, who was the girl that now she's a DJ for 103.5, Ellen Kay? I don't know if that's the one he sexually harassed. I guess I should do more research. I do enjoy Ryan's roses. He has a new sidekick now who is a girl. I only knew about him dating Julianne Hough, but I will, and they dated for a number of years, and I feel like she's very apple pie and good. But he used to be roommates with Mario Lopez.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you know he's all right then.
Actually, I've heard really awful things about AC Slater. I've had friends who've dated him, and allegedly he might have things that don't go away.
I just want to say I don't think we can compare Casey Kasem and Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, yeah.
I really just had to interject here. I don't know. It's also different generations. Like Casey Kasem was around before everybody was getting in trouble. So he had
Why don't you and Casey get a coffin, you know?
Yeah. I hope no stories come out now. Because, he has enough service in his life. So let's leave it as is for Casey Kasem.
Yeah. As Kasem's health worsened in 2013, wife Jean prevented any contact with her husband to his children, particularly by his children by his first marriage. On October 1st, this is what I'm saying, their names are so American, Carrie, Mike, and Julie protested in front of the Kasem home, having not been allowed contact with their father for 3 months. Some of Kasem's longtime friends and colleagues, along with his brother, Mauner.
Okay, that's not an all-American name.
He needs
M-O-U-N-E-R. Yeah,
he needs an American name like Casey.
Oh, Money Mauner.
Money Mauner also joined the demonstration, which that's bad. I feel like if his brother does, and I do wonder, so he's probably already in the onsets of dementia at that point, so maybe he doesn't know what's going on. But if his brother is joining this, there's probably been some long-term animosity. Again, I just think, what do you do? What would you do? I mean, both of you are in relationships. If all of their family was against you, I mean, that would be tough. But instead of trying to acclimate, you keep your partner away.
Yeah, so what
right?
I heard was that
doesn't that seem weird?
Apparently, she alienated everybody. She took control once he got sick. It was a slow process, but she really alienated him from his kids. She alienated him from his brother, and everybody wanted to get back into his life. They knew he was ailing, and she was taking complete control of his health and wouldn't let them see him. And so they staged this. What Julie said, a peaceful protest outside the house. The police were notified and everything, and they were like, okay, carry on.
Peaceful protests are so interesting to me. Why out of bed if it's going to be peaceful?
But then
I want some shit to go down. If I'm going to protest.
Seriously, but it was peaceful.
Some blood,
some
gore.
Then the whole thing happened with her coming out of the house throwing meat. Wasn't that the same protest?
Yeah, so we're going to get to that. Okay, so the older Kasem children saw conservatorship over their father's care. The court denied their petition. Kasem was removed from a Santa Monica, California nursing home by his wife on May 7th, 2014. On May 12th, Carrie Kasem was granted temporary conservatorship over her father despite her stepmother's objection. The court also ordered an investigation into Kasem's whereabouts after his wife's attorney told the court that Kasem wasn't in the U.S. and then he was found in Washington State. But maybe, if she's anything like her character in Cheer, she did not know Washington State was part of the U.S.
So, Jean, as Casey was ailing, this is what Julie, the daughter, who sounded very lucid and I believe, said, that she was now, while Casey was really sick and she was carrying on an affair, so she might not have known where Casey was. I'm dead serious. There's something really loony about this.
Casey Kasem. Could you imagine you accidentally put Casey Kasem somewhere and then you forget?
Yeah, I think like he was, you know,
be a good
unfortunately.
Sitcom.
Right. Yeah, he was.
Hopefully, she
would
have written it down on a post-it note and like put it on her fridge. It was.
What
after-
were you gonna? What were you gonna Sorry. Say?
No, I was gonna say she. I mean, he was like, you know, really declining, and she's off. I mean, she has a boyfriend during this time.
Is that fact? So, I mean, I feel like that's alleged. I don't like I peeked into several different notes and I didn't see that, although it might not be in.
But I feel like a lot of this isn't fact. It seems like
hearsay.
Shira said up top that it's we're hearing two different sides of the same story.
Well, this is the interview that I heard with Julie, and she said it was like well known. Like she was seeing this. I mean, you know, her husband was out of it, so I guess already at this point she's feeling like I don't really have a husband, and she started seeing this guy while Casey's not, you know, lucid. And yeah, maybe an allegation, but the daughter sounded very believable. I urge you to listen to that interview later because it was really good.
And which podcast did you say that was on again?
On Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop. So she one of her latest episodes, she interviewed Julie Kasem. Nice. And I thought she sounded you know, there was one daughter on the 48-hour podcast who I was like not wild about, but Julie was like the more studious one, the more. She seemed very practical.
Kind of nerdy.
Kind of nerdy.
I'd be the Carrie Kasem. Caitlin would be the Julie. You'd be the Mike.
Yeah.
Adam.
I have to say, sure. I like Julie a lot better because, like, she was less harsh on the 48 hours, and that immediately made me say, like, I'm going to believe
harsh,
what
yes.
she's... Yeah, it was like she was less of an angry-sounding person, so it was, like, easier to take what she was saying at face value.
But sometimes passion gets you places. I mean, Carrie's been the most vocal.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah,
but it's like a she said, she said on the 48 hours, but then like it was a much more rational interview with Heather.
Do you know who Heather McDonald is, Adam?
The name sounds very familiar.
So she's a comedian, and she was in a bunch of like Chelsea Handler's when she had Chelsea Lately.
Okay.
She was on the panel a lot.
Yeah.
So when Caitlin and I went to the second Crime Con in Nashville. Actually, Caitlin didn't go. I went with Jamie Rice from Murderish. And then we had the crime guys. We had Rich Slayton and John Chesky on our flight. And I'm such a nervous flyer that I had 8,000 wines on this 5-hour flight. And I went from being so scared that turbulence was going to kill me to I thought it would be fun to send crazy messages to John and Rich on cocktail napkins and have our 70-year-old flight attendant deliver them.
Sure.
So, anywho, that's a different story. one of them did go to Heather McDonald, who was also on our flight because she's doing a comedy show in Nashville. And when we got off the flight, Heather had Jamie on before to talk about how she was a juror in a true crime court case. And so when we got off, they were talking, and I think Heather's pretty popular, but it was so cute because John and Rich were just like, oh, who are you? Like, do you have a podcast? And it was very just podcasting 101.
And then you met, I think you met Josh Mankiewicz that same night, and you were hanging, all of you guys were hanging out with Josh Mankiewicz and Keith, what's his name?
They were.
Why am I
didn't,
blanking?
Yeah, I didn't
oh, okay.
stay for that second night. They all went to Heather's comedy show the next night.
Oh, okay. I tried to introduce you to Heather also. But anyway.
Yeah, you did. I got blown off, but that's okay. But it's not from your lack of trying, which I appreciate. Okay, so it was after this discovery and removal of Casey from Gene's friend's house in Washington and as shown on 48 Hours that Gene Kasem threw a package of raw ground beef at Carrie Kasem while reciting biblical verses. But then who hasn't ever done that? Same Gene. Same.
That kind of seals it for me.
Did you watch? I sent you video clips. You can look it on YouTube.
In terms of who's in the right or wrong here.
What did you think when
she's
you saw
obviously
that?
The crazy one.
So that Gene made her seem crazy. I mean, anyone throwing raw meat at people.
Yeah.
And she said like
okay,
she had
the
a
one
point.
Throwing the meat.
Yeah.
So she explained it. She said like she feels they're treating him like a piece of meat. So she was trying to metaphorically convey.
Nope.
You're treating my husband like a piece of meat.
Why the Bible verses? So, that I thought was interesting.
The whole performance art aspect of it absolutely makes her
an actor
the crazy
till the
one.
End.
Yeah, she's the like, crazy
bravo,
one.
Bravo,
she is an actor.
Bravo.
So maybe that was a method acting thing that I just don't get.
So on June 6, 2014, Kasem was reported to be in critical but stable condition at a hospital in Washington, receiving antibiotics for bed sores. I don't. and I don't know a lot about like medicine or nursing, but
no,
but as somebody who will spend a total day hungover in bed watching TV, only getting up to go to the bathroom and sometimes just letting it flow.
Of course.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Or like putting on a diaper.
No, yeah, we get what you mean.
Okay,
but I think bed sores is a result of, like, unfortunately, those unfortunate hospital things that happen when you're, like, in a facility that's for too long and the facility's not,
Are they supposed to, like, turn you, like, sometimes?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Neglect. I think, like, there was some neglect there.
So there was some neglect in her friend's house, although they said he was fine. God, that's got, and that's what I think, too. Like, if your body physically can't do it, did his mind know what was going on? And did it know that, like, he was sore and, like, he needed to be moved around? I think all interesting.
You know what I think it is? I think he was moved around so much he wasn't given the proper medical care. Had people not been fighting, and I kind of, like, when I was watching the 48 hours thing, I blamed both sides because I'm like, all the fighting led to him being moved around. Him being moved around and not being in the right places, he got bed sores. If he had been under the proper medical supervision in one facility the whole time, he would have done a lot better.
Well, there also seems to be, and I'll go over it, but there seems to be some, both sides say that they were told different things by their doctors as far as how to take care of him. So apparently he'd been bedridden for some time. A judge ordered separate visitation times for Kasem's wife and children. The judge ruled that Kasem had to be hydrated, fed, and medicated as a court-appointed lawyer reported on his health status. Isn't that crazy that you have to rule that?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, because.
Go ahead.
I mean, that's estrangement. I was just going to say that's estrangement to the max. I mean,
that's your basics. That,
yeah, I mean, it was. Well, Julie, of course, explained it as
hydrate, feed, medicate.
Yeah, and Julie explained it as, like, you know, Jean did not want those kids around, and so, you know, there were separate times for them to see their father and for her to be with him, and I think that really just messed up, like. Because Julie is married to a doctor, and her husband, you know, her husband used to, like, speak to Casey about his health, and Casey couldn't even consult with him because Jean pushed them away. So I think that, like, so her pushing, from what I gathered, her pushing them away was, like, just so detrimental because he could have, you know, consulted with his son-in-law. He could have been in one place. I mean, this is just. It just shows you how estrangement.
Right. There's a tug of war over this feeble old man who could not stick up for himself. So Gene claimed that he had been given no food, water, or medication the previous weekend. Carrie's lawyer stated that she had him removed from artificial food and water on the orders of a doctor and in accordance with the directive her father signed in 2007, saying he would not want to be kept alive if it would result in a mere biological existence devoid of cognitive function with no reasonable hope for normal functioning. The judge reversed his order the following Monday after it became known that Kasem's body was no longer responding to the artificial nutrition, allowing the family to place Kasem on end-of-life measures over the objections of Jean. And again, I don't know why she would want to keep him alive if he's that far gone.
Right. Unless she's like a trophy. Hoping for some miracle. But
no,
she,
I don't feel like it's that.
Yeah, I think it's control.
I think maybe that she's just put all of her identity into his identity. So if he's gone, she's gone. I don't know.
Yeah. Was there like dispute over how his estate was going to be split up? Was she?
Yes. So that's a big thing. I think, you know, I think that she that was.
As far as I know, it's still ongoing.
Right. I think that that is still ongoing and it was never completely decided. Because they asked, his children asked him to sign something when he was, like, losing a little, and he wasn't as, you know, lucid. And so I think, like, there is a dispute about money and estate right now and property. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, she was trying to control things to the end.
Right. I 100% agree.
Yeah, it seems like it would have to be something like that to want to keep him alive in that state. You're kind of hoping he's going to come back, maybe because you're not quite secure in what might be in that will when he dies. I don't know.
So right.
I'm always skeptical when people want to keep someone alive in that state. Like, I get it to some extent, but also, like, you're not doing them any favors.
Oh, 100%. And I mean,
is there any element to the fact, like, oh, she's married to him for 35 years, she's holding on to him, she loves him? I don't know. I mean, I heard Julie's version and she, you know, the fact that she, whatever, the alleged boyfriend, like, it changed things. So I went from thinking during the 48 hours, like, you know, I didn't know what to think. I was sort of like not sure that she was entirely baddie. But then when I heard Heather's interview, I'm like, okay, Jean was like stepmother from hell, who alienated the kids, alienated Casey's family, his brother, and in the end took so much control that she went out of her way to bury him in Oslo.
So
at the end of the day, yeah.
On June 15th, 2014, which is 4.5 years ago, Kasem died at St. Anthony's Hospital in Gig Harbor, Washington, at the age of 82. The cause of death was reported as sepsis, which is poo-poo, caused by an ulcerated bedsore.
It's not poo-poo.
His body was handed over to Jean, who made funeral arrangements. Reportedly, Kasem wanted to be buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Glendale. However, that was not to be, and Kasem's body would visit more places dead than I ever have alive. By July 9th...
That was batty. I mean, there's something really wrong with that woman when that story came out, because it's just like, now he's dead.
Well, plus... It's in what condition is he that you're transporting him all over the place? Like, is he just packed with, like, dry ice on top of him? He's not cremated. Your body starts deteriorating rapidly.
Maybe he's vacuum sealed.
I think they said something about putting him. I don't know about dry ice, but when you said that, it reminded me of something was said. Not a joke.
Rodney Dangerfield. I think his wife preserved him on ice.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard, is Rodney Dangerfield. And if anybody out there knows, my mom was telling me the story at Thanksgiving, as we like to get into stuff like this.
Sure.
Over food. But she was like, yeah, I heard Rodney Dangerfield's wife years ago, obviously, when he died, put him on ice in the hopes that in the future they'd be able to take, I guess, some of his cells and bring him back.
I wish the technology to verify this story right now on the spot existed.
I mean, you could...
What?
Should we?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like we should just move on. We're never going to figure out this mystery.
No, but I do remember they said something in the 48 hours about him
technology
being put on
stumped.
Ice. I think they said something, not like seriously, about him being put on ice before they transported him. So
that's so weird. Like, why move his body around like that?
Again, I think it's more of a power play.
Yeah, it must be.
By July 19th, a judge had granted Carrie Kasem a temporary restraining order to prevent Jean from cremating the body in order to allow an autopsy to be performed. However, when Carrie went to give a copy of the order to the funeral home, she was informed that the body had been moved in the direction of Jean. Kasem's wife had the body moved to her funeral home in Montreal, Canada on July 14th, which is, by the way, I believe 1 month after he passed.
Right.
And then
right.
Another month on August 14th, it was reported in the Norwegian newspaper that Kasem was going to be buried in Oslo. Kasem's wife had him interred at Oslo Western Civil Cemetery on December 16th. Again, more and more months. In November 2015, three of Kasem's children and his brother sued his widow for wrongful death. And the lawsuit charges Jean with elder abuse and inflicting emotional distress on the children by restricting access before his death.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it is crazy.
And if you saw in the 48 hours, I mean, they showed. So there's one daughter that they had together named Liberty. And you see Jean and Liberty visiting his burial site. I guess like the other ones have not been there because it's out in Oslo. Or I don't know if they have been. But Liberty is the most, it's just dressed in such a strange way. That kid cannot.
How
feel
old
like,
was she when her dad died? Do you know? Was she a teenager?
I think a teenager. She is. I mean, she had like that goth look. Do you remember how she was dressed in the 48-hour thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel
in
like...
Morning attire?
Yeah. There's just some... Like, that whole... That mother-daughter duo was weird. And what Julie said was that she tried to be close with her stepsister over the years and was always pushed away. Like, one of them had a wedding, and Jean said to her own daughter... no, they don't want you to be in the wedding because they think that you're too fat or something like that. Something awful. And then Julie wasn't able to say, this is not true. She's like, I hope Liberty's listening to the podcast now because I never said that. And wow. Like Jean did. Yeah. Jean was very manipulative and said all these things over the years to, you know, like turn, you know, liberty against her step siblings. So it just was a mess all around. And, you know, now
I would like to interject that when I look on Wikipedia about Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, okay, good, good.
He said he was interred in the Westwood Village Memorial Park Cemetery in LA. What does interred mean?
Means he was buried.
Mm, boo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there goes my theory. I like thinking he was frozen.
I don't think interred means kept on ice. I mean, we can...
That you'll look up?
What? I don't know. Yeah, I just remembered we do have the technology for it. That was a bit, Carrie, I was doing, where I was pretending the internet didn't exist before. In a grave or tomb, typically within funeral rites.
Could be in a tomb, though, in a frozen tomb.
More like on funeral ice. Am I right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Am I right? R-I-T-E?
The whole thing just reminded me that Rodney Dangerfield is dead because I hadn't thought about that in a while. So thank you for reminding me that he died because I honestly didn't I've watched Rodney Dangerfield things. He was still alive in my mind until this conversation.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember him dying either. I mean, he's obvious. I don't dispute it. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is.
It's terrible when I'm like, oh, now I'm realizing Rodney Dangerfield's dead. I mean, I do remember him dying a while ago, but you just reinforced that fact.
Yeah. So, maybe he came back.
Possible.
Maybe they put him on the ice and he came back. So do you have any Carrie left to go to the bathroom? I'm not supposed to tell people that, but I'll probably leave it in when I do the edit. Anyway, do you have any we're getting close to the end. Do you have any final thoughts on the death of Casey Kasem? I'm sure you have lots and lots of thoughts.
So my final thoughts is I think that this woman, Jean, I mean, this is my personal, I really hope that she doesn't come out and like sue me for saying this because she sounds very litigious and crazy, but I think there's just some psychological disorder with her where she really became very protective over this man she was married to and pushed people away. I heard she was very like nasty to the ex-wife who was actually who got along well with Casey's family, had an amicable divorce with Casey. And it just really sounds like Jean is the one that was a control freak, pushed people away. And, you know, now they're in these legal battles over the estate and money and everything else and wrongful death suit. That's why you asked in the beginning why this came up now. And it's because Jean, I think, first sued them for wrongful death, you know, because of all the moving facilities.
Sure.
And then they countersued. And that's why it's coming up now, because there's that suit and the countersuit.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
and I agree with you. It seems like, we're obviously getting two sides of a story, but it seems like Jean is probably the issue here.
She does seem to be wacky.
It seems like she's a crazy person. Like the ground, throwing raw hamburger...
Right.
And reciting Bible verses. There's no, I can't think of a situation at all in life where I would go, yeah, that's what I would do too.
Right.
Like there's not.
I mean, she had great justification for it. She was like, I feel like they're treating him like a piece of meat. So I was going to make, you know, so like.
Is that justified?
Yeah, that's not.
Like, I know. She's
like that cow died for that demonstration.
Right. People exactly. Well, and also he was wasn't he a vegetarian or whatever?
Vegan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why'd she even have that ground beef in the house?
Yeah, seriously, that's not, you know, honoring her
first
husband's.
Bed sores, second ground beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Jean was the problem.
Jean was the problem.
She needs to...
She needs a reality show.
I wish his body could be
moved. That's another thing I have to bring up.
Uh-oh.
She apparently was caught by TMZ. They brought this up on the Heather McDonald podcast. They caught her. TMZ caught her out, and they're like, how you doing, Jean? I heard your husband's like really, really not doing well when he was sick. And she's like, I just interviewed to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
God, I wish.
I swear, you can go find
that would be my
afterwards.
Wet dream.
What if that's why she was trying to keep him alive? So she could still be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And then he can go when she's on.
Oh, no, they can. They don't have to be married to be Real Housewives.
That's true.
I wonder, say this is, okay, so I watched one of those E! True Hollywood Stories about New Kids on the Block years ago, and it was after they had stopped touring. So they were like the biggest name for such a long time, for however many years, and then all of a sudden they were like retired, and it was Jonathan, who wasn't even like anybody's favorite really, but he talked about how he had like a farmhouse in like Indiana or whatever. And he goes, there were days where I couldn't get out of bed. I was so depressed because I didn't know what to do when the adoration stopped.
Right.
So I do wonder if there's a part of that where it's like, God, I'm getting older. And if he dies, like that is part of my identity. Plus, it means we're older. Plus, you know, will I be important without him?
Yeah, it's not. I understand. Like, I get that she might have motivations that are understandable.
Yeah.
But like,
no, I think she was just crazy, truthfully. I really think there was a pathology. I mean, I hate to chalk it up to that, but the you know, even, you know, and Julie said in the interview that, like, when they were kids, they started noticing weird things where, like, she would just constantly, you know, complain about how their mother was getting alimony or child support or whatever it was. And it's child support, I guess, at that point. And, you know, and she would complain about the money and make a big deal about everything. And it was like, successively over the years, one thing after another. She started off innocuous enough. And
I mean,
then
she
became,
had a great life. He bought some, I think, somebody famous's house. I didn't recognize the name. I don't know if he was somebody who did architecture or whatever, but it was like a mansion. It's like, what more do you want? And honestly, if he didn't, like if he did pick her over the kids, like kind of fuck him. And I say that as a child of divorce. Maybe that's not the way I should end this podcast with fuck Casey Kasem. But if he did choose his wife over his kids, I will say as a child of divorce, like it's hurtful and it sucks.
Yeah.
I think he was like his mind had degenerated too much at the point where he needed to really fight, you know, to like fight.
That's not just when he's older though. That was something it sounds like that had been in place. Like the battle had been brewing for years. Like it wasn't just when he was older. It just, he had no mouthpiece anymore.
Well, the kids did say that he was an amazing father to them and that he always like helped them out and that but he did once say as he was ailing, Don't ever go up against Jean. Like, just don't get into it with, like, he was
but
a peacemaker.
Just don't go up against her.
Well, maybe maybe in his mind that included getting divorced. Maybe he also didn't want to
like
go
maybe
up
he was scared. It's
way.
Just easier to keep her.
I think he was No. I mean, well, what Julie conveyed was that like they had had those conversations where they're like, Dad, why don't you just divorce her? She's nuts. And he was like, you know what? I've had a great life. I'm just gonna keep doing my radio thing.
She fought my vegan causes with me.
I think towards the end of the marriage, it was a love. From what I got from Heather's podcast, there was no love at the end of that marriage. And Jean and Julie even encouraged him to like move out.
Those are marriage goals for me. Loveless,
yeah,
loveless at 30 years in.
Right. She encouraged like him to move out and said like, Dad, just come live with me. You don't have to live with her anymore. You know, you can have fun. And he's just like, I'm not going to fight this. I'm just going to like,
I think he wasn't giving up. God, what a sad end.
Yeah.
Did I mention that he used to eat rock candy when he was recording?
No, but I drank chocolate milk as we were recording.
Yeah, I read it.
That's a weird choice to eat while recording.
To eat rock candy.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, it's very, very strange choice.
But it helped make his voice gravelly is why he did it.
Oh.
Was he just
swallowing? Okay, well, apparently he didn't go to the Casey Kasem School of DJing, Adam. So take some notes, please. And if we ever have any sort of podcast about Ryan Seacrest, we definitely will not be inviting you, Shira. So it was very nice having you on this only
podcast. Me and Shira are going to start an anti-Ryan
Seacrest
podcast.
But by the way, now that I've said that she was stopped by TMZ, and while he was really ailing, and she was like, oh, I'm doing great. I just auditioned. I have to check out that clip because I'm dying of curiosity.
Is she still with him?
He's dead. Wait.
No,
what?
No. Dead. No, the boyfriend, if she was having an affair, if he's gone, why wouldn't you move on to the next guy?
She's still with him, according to Julie.
Oh, okay. Well, that is news to me.
Yep. Well, you have two things to check out, the TMZ clip and the Heather interview. But yes, according to Julie, she was with him as Casey was ailing, and she is still with a guy today.
Wow. Yeah.
Allegedly. I don't want to get sued.
So she's the problem.
Allegedly.
She's
the common denominator.
Yeah. That's sad.
I mean, the minute I saw
that. It is sad, but a sad end.
This is very shallow, but like the first pair of glasses she was wearing in that interview, the 48 hours, I was like, okay, this lady, there's something like kooky about her because those frames were just so kooky. And that was like my tip off that something wasn't right.
We have talked more about her glasses than about anybody's anything in any other episode.
Yeah.
They were a choice.
That was the first indication. And then it just like, there were so many other indications. So, and so many things to check out.
She could be an aggressive vegan like Morrissey.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows? So we should probably wrap it up. We're getting close to an hour. It is 4 o'clock in the morning where Shira is.
Part one of our Casey Kasem tribute.
Better now. Right.
You're going to stay on the line, Shira.
For hours and hours. No, we're wrapping this up.
And then we're going to start part two.
Don't let Carrie troll you. We have reached the finish line. This was a fun episode. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us. What do we have to...
Thank you for including me.
Of course.
I really appreciate it.
Tell people where they can find you and your stuff online and in the world one more time.
Okay, so I write at shirasgotthescoop.com. I also have an archive, my old archive on the Huffington Post when I was contributing. So if you Google Shira Weiss Huffington Post, that will come up. You can find me on Twitter at Shira Weiss and on Instagram, Shira's Got the Scoop.
Very nice. What else do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. $5 a month.
Also, just elected myself the president of the Ryan Seacrest fan club. So if you would like to just direct message me.
Apparently, I will be kicked out if I even try to join. So I will not.
I've already blocked you on all social media. when is this airing?
This is airing next week.
So we have a show at the end of the month.
We have a show December 29th at the Hollywood Hotel, 9 p.m. It's free. I think it's just going to be a big ass comedy show with a bunch of Unpops hosts and personalities.
Wait, who will be there?
Well, so far, Caitlin will be there, hopefully speaking this time, unlike tonight.
That will be a long 10-minute set if she does not.
Carrie will be there. Yes. I'll be there. Quincy Johnson II will be there. Matt Lieb will be there. Francesca Fiorentini from AJ Plus and Newsbroke and things of the like. Anna Valenzuela. And I think Chet Wilde might be there.
Can we just roast each other?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
I'm going to write jokes just in case it happens.
Sounds like so much fun. I feel like I should fly in because I need that LA. I just need the vacation.
Please do come out.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I really need to get away. So maybe I can plan it accordingly because I need to get to your coast already.
You're invited whenever you want to come out.
Come do it. It'll be nice. It'll be nice in California. I mean, nice-ish. Nicer than where
I'll
you
keep
are.
Keep you guys posted. Yeah, 60-70s. I'm way overdue to come to California, I will definitely let you guys know.
Real quick, Shira, have you ever heard of comedian Chet Wilde?
You're safe to just say
I'm really embarrassed.
No.
No, but you know
what? No, if you like dad jokes, he is your guy.
I have to tell you, my sister probably
has. He's a dad jokes comedian.
Every comedian under the sun.
If you look up dad jokes in a dictionary, which he probably still has physical dictionaries, he is in there.
I'm betting my sister knows who he is because she, for some reason, knows every comedian. You'd be surprised.
But I will say, if I do, I will lay this to rest. And I will no longer hate Chet Wilde if we can roast each other.
If we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
I'll get it out of my system and I'll move on.
Yeah, we'll do a roast of someone that night.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate you guys including me when I'm totally not a comedian, but I loved, kibitzing.
Your commentary about Casey Kasem, I thought, was hilarious.
You were really great. Yeah. And we hope you'll do the show again sometime.
Yeah, maybe I should explore a comedy career. That's another possible
personal
choice.
Trainer, comedian, contributor.
The world is yours.
Yep.
Exactly.
All right.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
We just have a stroke. Are you okay?
Why?
You just seem so tired.
Oh, no. I'm fine.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Or were you over it? Were you over me?
Oh, no. We're still recording. We didn't do the regular. I just didn't want to make her do the part where I go, Shira, say goodbye. Goodbye. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. I didn't have a stroke. I'm going to go to the hospital.